Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male nor female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it. Excuse me, for it is a cursed thing. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Excuse me. All right, well, we have a lot of things going on in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We have the Lord declaring that the Israelites are a special people unto Him. And in saying that, logically, and I do believe that the Lord is a God of logic, when we say that there are certain people that are special, that means there are certain people that are not. Otherwise, you can't have special. You know, either everyone's the same or some people are special. And if everyone's the same, nobody's special. This is why we often talk about, in the regulative principle of worship, we talk to folks, and they say, well, you know, all of life is worship. Well, if all of life is worship, then none of life is worship. Right? If it's all the same, then there are no times of explicit worship. There are no times that are specially worshipful, if all of life is worship. Now, I understand what those people that say that are trying to say. I hope what they're trying to say is that we ought to live all of our lives before God. And that is true. But when they posit that proposition to the detriment of regulated worship, well, then none of life is worship at that point. And this is the same here. When the Lord says, long about, verses 5 and following, that they are a special people unto Him, what He is doing is He is roping out the other people upon the face of the earth, and especially those seven nations that live in the land of Canaan. The Lord sees them as trespassers because He has promised that land to the seed of Israel, to the seed of Jacob. And so there is a proper separation. Now let me ask you this, people. This is a very important question. I want you to hear it and I want you to consider it. Do you consider yourself to be God's special people? Do you consider yourself to be separate from the world? This is not only an Old Testament concept. It is thoroughly a New Testament concept. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, declares the Lord. Oh, the Apostle Paul brings that Old Testament concept right into the New Testament, doesn't he? It is a thoroughly New Testament concept as well. The Apostle Peter calls the church a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the glories of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Peter uses that language of Hosea where he says, you know, there's a people that weren't my people, but they're going to be called my people. But he brings that right into the New Testament. Do you consider yourselves to be God's peculiar people? A people that He has specially preserved for Himself? You should. It's a biblical concept. You should think of yourselves as different from the world. To think otherwise, to think things like, oh, you know, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're not all God's children. Not in that sense. There is a sense in which we're all God's children, in that we're all created by one Father. But that's as far as it goes. Your thinking, your paradigms, your thesis, your motives, your actions, your lifestyle, your dress. Brothers and sisters, we are a separate people unto the Lord our God. Have you been baptized? then you have been marked out for possession by God. You belong to Him. Belonging to Him is one of the best thing that could ever happen to you. Belonging to Him. And yet some people carry it as a burden, don't they? We hear Christians that speak of, you know, I don't get to do this and I don't get to do that. What do you get? Do you remember? You get His Word and Spirit. You get, as we read here in verse 7, His love. His care. His name upon your forehead. The rights and privileges of the sons of God. Oh, I don't know, how many was it? 25 or 28 sermons on adoption? A few weeks back? A few months back? Not for thy righteousness, nor for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go in to possess the land, but for the wickedness of those nations which the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our standing before the Lord does not depend on us. It's not because God looked around and chose. No, He's not like Nebuchadnezzar. You remember the first time Nebuchadnezzar came down to Israel, to Jerusalem? He marched in there with his army and he said, I'll take the cream of the crop back to Babylon with me if you don't mind. Oh yeah, Daniel, he looks good. We'll take him. Yeah, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, I'll take them with me. They are goodly youths. I need them in my court. I'll take them. God is not like that. He didn't look down upon the sons of men and say, I see some of you that would, you know, would really adorn my court. I think I want you. No, it's not for your righteousness. It's not for anything that you have done. What a great blessing it is that the Lord has simply loved you. Did you hear? Did you hear what Moses said to the children of Israel here? Verse 7, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn to your fathers. What is the great and grand calculated reason that the Lord gives? What was the process He went through to choose His people? He loved them. He loved them. Plain and simple. Now, you know what's amazing about that? Is that they refused to accept that grace of God. They refused and they desired to be like the other people. And what a fool's wager that is. We remember that these very warnings, this warning here that we read in chapter 7, there was a guy named Achan. And he saw that good stuff in Jericho, and he took it home and put it in his tent. Now, why would you do that? You haven't reckoned the grace of God. You haven't reckoned what a great thing it is to be marked out by God as a separate people. I say it's time we learn to revel in our separateness. I say it's time that we learn to appreciate the fact that we are God's special people. So then, the Lord goes on to tell them what they will do to those nations that are before them. They're going to drive them out. Do you believe that we will drive out the nations? I believe that. Now, I don't know how the Lord is going to do it. But I look for a hopeful end to human history. I look toward a hopeful end. I believe that we will, as the church, sooner or later, drive out. That when Jesus comes back, he's going to find faith on the earth. That he's going to find a church that he has labored in, and a triumphant church. And I don't know how we're going to do it, and I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know what the Lord's time frame is. But I do know that each of us have a responsibility in that. And that it is it's a long-term responsibility. And that long-term responsibility is that we need to inculcate in ourselves and in our children and in our children's children the fact that we are a separate people unto the Lord our God and that we're heading toward a triumphal end. And that we need to stop bringing in the seeds of our own destruction. We need to stop planting the seeds of our own destruction in our midst. Seeds of discord in the church, seeds of discord in the family. As I told you a few weeks ago in a sermon, I think that Reformed Presbyterianism is the closest model, the closest biblical model to how a church ought to be organized on the face of the earth. And that in another sense, it's the farthest. I sat with someone a few weeks ago across the table, and he said, "We're Presbyterians. We pick at one another. That's what we do." I said, "Not this Presbyterian. Not this Presbyterian." That's sowing the seeds of destruction. When the Lord says we're supposed to go forward in triumph. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against the church. That means the church is moving forward. But we'll only move forward as we consider ourselves and reckon ourselves and inculcate it in ourselves and in our children and in our children's children that we are a separate people unto the Lord our God, wholly by His grace, simply because He loved us. Begin rejoicing in your separateness as God's people. Well, there's a lot more in Deuteronomy chapter 7, but suffice it there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in praise.